Mm-hmm. For being me?
Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
Why the fuck we can't make fun of you for being nobody else?
I mean, that's very true. At least I'm not a robot.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you are very...
Hopefully. Okay, check it.
He might be one of them niggas that, like, buy some like robot parts, but only if they, like, released by Supreme. And I don't think Supreme don't put out
a robot. Or cyborg arm.
He's got to be, like, good for resale.
He said, bitch, I'm trying to flip his arm.
Yeah, he going to flip that arm.
I lost the arm. Anyway,
he ain't going to get stuck with the arm.
Bro.
Respect.
All right, then as they just completely went in on me.
was that recorded? Or was
that
you're
welcome. That again? That was it.
All right,
cool. Good shit.
Ladies and gentlemen. Bitches and broads.
And niggas. Don't forget about the niggas.
Welcome to the now new and officially rebranded name of this internet rap show, Rap Parlay. Your host Cap is now dead. You can please call me Bruce Midnight.
Put your bitch at.
And tonight, I got a couple special guests. In the building, we have a rapper, local legend, H2O.
Yo.
Next, we have a scientist, soon to be doctor, overall person to help other people feel better, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Mr. Mills is in the building.
Hey, what's up?
Last but not least, this man is very charismatic, funny, entertaining, high energy. God damn it, Fee, welcome.
That's 4L Fee. Thank you.
All right, y'all. So if you think about it, it's currently the year 2019. It's currently the month of March. Today is, March 24th, a Sunday to be more specific. So last month, Black History Month, February, was a good time to, reminisce and think about Kanye West as a rapper. And it's been 15 years since College Dropout. And a lot has happened in 15 years since the release of that album. Kanye's gotten married. He's had many successful albums. His own sneaker line. Crazy shit, right? So, with all that happening to Kanye West, and you know, especially a lot of this steaming from the success of his album, College Dropout, all that success happened from Kanye West and, steaming from his career. How do you guys feel College Dropout has changed the game, or how do you think it's affected the rap game so far?
For the past, what was it? You said 15 years?
It's been 15 years since College Dropout.
I would say, for the past 15 years, it's definitely, grown. Like, he was able to make a sound of his own to where everybody's, using, a lot of pop, I guess, instruments within it, a trap sound.
Nigga, definitely.
A lot of people weren't, really, into doing that until, he came on the scene, as far as, being a producer. So, I think that's a big thing, just how production sounds. And, a lot with, instrumentation. I noticed, in a lot of albums, if you're, making a conceptual album like he normally does, a lot of, instrumentation, or is, put within it for, orchestration purposes, I guess you could say. I think that's something that's, really changed the game as far as, his sound. As far as what Kanye did.
I think Kanye has definitely heavily influenced a shit ton of artists, made a lot of new artists, and I think that College Dropout has definitely, I think it was one of the albums that resonated with a lot of people, especially people of the working class. Mm. And Kanye, even though he was in the music industry, he was still very at home and in tune with people of the working class. So one of my favorite songs that I reviewed when going back to the album was Spaceships. And especially being older and now that I am at a job where I work almost damn near 40 plus hours a week sometimes, I definitely really understand that song more, and especially being somebody who was trying to break out into the media field and get away from this, not necessarily looking to make millions of dollars or anything like that, but I definitely am trying to get away from this normal everyday routine. I definitely related to that on Spaceships, and even the whole concept of not going to college, the whole album College Dropout was something I even played around with personally. So I think it's an album that's definitely it's not only shaped rappers, but it's definitely shaped a lot of people. The way that people mentality, with the way that people look at their lives and how they go through everything.
He also wasn't afraid to be honest. That's what I liked about him the most. He wasn't afraid to rap about what religion he was practicing, or like as far as like with Jesus Walks, things of that nature. And he wasn't afraid to like basically make music, make a lot of music like dedicated to like family, which in, for example, like his mom, he wasn't afraid to like show emotions. I think that's what a lot of rappers do nowadays, is like they're able to like express like their actual feelings and emotion without being like, I guess, seen as like a nerd or whatever.
The nigga totally like flip hip hop, and you got to think, before he recorded his first album, he had been doing beats for Rockefeller and all kind of shit for a while. For like, a while, yeah. He had That's been, true. And so he had his finger on the pulse, and then he pop out, and he now he was the first nigga wearing the bags, like he was wearing book bags and shit before everybody else. Like he made motherfuckers fashionistas. He was the first Louis Vuitton Don. Now he got everybody like motherfuckers are still doing that shit. But motherfuckers weren't like bragging about it. It didn't hit the braggadocious part of hip hop because niggas was still on that rough shit.
That. Like fashion wasn't as big as it was. Like
yeah, he
until
put,
like he came around and like elevated it.
He
a
put
little
niggas
bit
on that shit.
No, like, he definitely did. And you gotta remember, like he is the dude who brought up Virgil Abloh, who was now the lead men's designer of Louis Vuitton. Kanye was definitely ahead of the game when it came to fashion. I remember the Stunner Shades when fucking Graduation came out.
All kind of shit.
Yeah, them shits was crazy. I was a fan of them.
As far as like lyricism goes, though, he did. I feel like he set up that whole standard of like creating the flow. Not like creating, but like repopularizing the flow of storytelling, you know what I mean? And that way of like, this is what happened, where it happened, how it happened type shit. Like, motherfuckers really wouldn't. Yeah, motherfuckers was on it, but they ain't have that flavor.
He was able to make it engaging.
Yeah.
I feel like he was definitely able to like tell a story. And even though it was like not as complex, like even though it was like conversational, like I feel like he still made it to where like you can sit down and listen to it.
It's like
I
some like Andre 3000 shit. That envelope
for that too. He definitely did, and Kanye also knew how to have fun with making music. I love the skits that he threw on there with Said the Entertainer, and they're fucking hilarious about all
D. Ray Davis.
Yeah, like
did he have Bernie Mac on one?
No, that was D-Ray Davis. Bernie Mac.
That was D-Ray.
It was?
Mm-hmm. I think that was D-Ray.
It was the Sam?
Yeah. What in the fuck was that? Kanye?
Yeah. He said, I told him something for the kids. You just a nigga. Yeah, yeah, well, I was in there. I swear to God, I was sad.
Bernie, shit. But yeah.
It was a really good album, and like especially a lot of shit was happening for him during that time. And he did some impressive things. Through the Wire, rapping with a broken jaw, was like crazy. You know, he was doing shit that nobody else was doing. Kanye was carving his own lane, his own path, whatever you want to call it. And he still continues to do that. He continues to do that this day, and it's so much different. But I feel like people kind of forget the shit that he like started. People try to just like brag on him now because he's gotten so big. But Kanye is also to me one of those people that like. He hasn't necessarily forgotten where he started. And, like, I don't know, like, when I, like, to compare another rapper who I low-key personally feel like they kind of forgot is, like, I want to say Hov in a sense, but it's because of the way that, like, Hov's music had to change due to his life changing. Even though Kanye's life changed, he still kind of, you know, knew how to still
pull people apart. I feel like once Jay-Z got the, like, got used to like paying attention to like detail and paying attention to production, he was set.
So looking at it, College Dropout had 21 tracks, a lot of great features. We had Mos Def on there, we had GLC, we had Jay-Z on there, Talib Kweli in Common. We also had Ludacris was on that album as well. And we, you know, Jamie Foxx, even though he didn't like rap and he just had like a small feature, Jamie Foxx was also on there. So Kanye worked with a lot of people. Even at the time when this album came out, 2004, Kanye was like talking to everybody. And like one of my favorite songs on the track besides Spaceships, I'd have to definitely say is Get 'Em High. And I really just love the Common line. New rappers are hard to find, like a remote. Short, simple, fucking like hits you right there, like in your heart. You're sitting there like, fuck. That's crazy. And Kanye was rapping on that kind of level too. He was doing very impressive things early on. That album was phenomenal. It was a great, like, it was a great point for him. And it kind of just kept going up at that point.
Yeah, I feel like he went on, like, he was definitely going uphill, like, for a long period of time. Which I feel like about, like, a lot of artists these days, especially, well, not a lot of artists, but especially, like, the big name, like, the mainstream of, like, the Kendricks and the Coles. But, yeah, Kanye was definitely one of them who just lasted for a very long point in time, especially because, again, like, it was mainly because of his production, really. Like, he was a person, someone who, like, pays attention to production a lot. I think, like, as long as you can get the pocket of your lyrics to go with the beat, that's mainly what catches people and make their head nod any other time anyway, so.
Definitely, definitely. But, okay, so, you know, like I said, it's been 15 years, long time since the album. How do you guys feel like it's, you? How do you think it's aged? Do you think it still kind of works well? Do you think it's still able to kind of keep up with the current music? Because I went back and listened to it, and it's definitely got, like, an older school or more of, like, in a mid-2000s kind of feel for sure. Obviously, it's in the mid-2000s. I think certain songs still hold up to today, but I don't think the entire album still holds up. If I'm going to say if it aged well, if I'm going to put on a number scale out of like 5 or 1 out of 10 of how much in terms of if it aged well, I'd definitely give it like a solid 6. I think it's aged decently, but not well enough to still be able to keep up with music today, especially with all the new shit that the people are doing.
Especially if you're not like a Kanye stan. Like if I was trying to listen to like all like albums from beginning to end, like as far as that one, like you said, I would only be able to listen to a couple songs. Like I said, the infamous one, like Jesus Walks or Through the Wire, which is like one of my favorite Kanye songs. Like, just because, again, like how you said, he was rapping with like a fucked up jaw. So
this is the thing. It's like certain things, this is just really to each his own. Cause like I really think that one hold up. Like, when you watching Kanye over the years, like, that might be one of your favorite Kanyes. This might not be your favorite Kanye right now. You know what I mean? Like, and then you got to think, like, it's a reason you can't put In Living Color on TV right now. You know what I mean? It's a reason, like, Mad TV failed when Saturday Night Live was able to keep going. Certain envelopes can't be pushed like they was back then as you can push them now. You know what I mean?
Not everything.
I feel like it holds up quality within its own class. It's like listening to old Dipset music, you know what I mean? It was like, it was better back then.
Everything is gonna age well. Not everything is gonna survive the time. Some things die and some things survive.
Shit you just gotta be able to enjoy on your own. Like, and I feel like that album in particular might fit like right there. It's not something you're gonna like keep going back to hear right now, but it's like I feel like you can. Like, me personally, it was always about 6 or 7 songs I could let rock on that motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm not about to go,
21.
Yeah, type shit. Yeah. But I'm not about to go and play them all the time, type shit. But when I'm about to play them, like I'm like I gotta hear them. You know what I mean?
And that's just where the album has come to, in my opinion.
No, I mean, I definitely think it'll hold up. I mean, in the times now, because I mean, you see when you go back and you listen to it. I mean, yeah, you can rock with stuff. Like, yeah, you rocked with it back in the day differently than you might rock with it now. But I mean, the content, everything in it just innately holds up to this day.
That's true. Yeah, content-wise, yeah, I can agree with that. I just feel like as far as full projects now, the way they're being listened to rather than how, like, Grin has been listened to just like how we used to listen to it back in the day, but as far as with the projects that's out now, like, it's not the top one that you will listen to from beginning to end. You know what I'm saying?
I think the question is, if you hear it from a different artist, would you rock with it? Because the Kanye that put that shit out is not the Kanye that's putting shit out right now.
Yeah, like, it's a different
Kanye. And that's when you get that whole,
Kanye, yeah.
You die the old Kanye, or you live long enough to see yourself be the new Kanye.
He always, like, evolved, like,
so
he, like, my thing, like, he's always evolved as like as an artist to me.
I've always been one of those people who, like, I've always disagreed with that statement that there's like the old Kanye and there's new Kanye. I've actually always agreed with Kanye when it said it's just Kanye, and it's just in my opinion when I say that, it's just when I think he says that is that, like, really it's still the same person. Even though, like, you grow, you are still you. Like, Kanye West from College Dropout is still Kanye West to The Life of Pablo, to Ye, to all this stuff. It's just him growing.
Yeah, it's just
that he doesn't change. He grows. I can literally still, I at least because just being a Kanye fan, I still, like, hear Graduation Kanye. I don't hear him as clearly, but I still hear him.
Mm-hmm. Like, you still know he's there. Like,
yeah, I just never been one of the people that agree that, like, oh, it's the new Kanye. So I just think all Kanye.
I see it, like I said, I just see it as, like, evolution. Because, like, every song, every album he's put out has, you can definitely tell, like, it's always going to be different from the last.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what.
it's just, well, it was just one of those things. Like, Kanye West is a phenomenal rapper, and like, when especially you look at the growth that he's gone through, like, my personal favorite project is probably My Beautiful Twisted Dark Fantasy, and I just love the way that he composed it. Kanye's definitely, like, kept composing and creating albums perfectly. He was able to tell an amazing story, like, almost per album.
Fun fact, I listened to that so late. Like, I was so late onto that album, but when I did, I realized what the hype was about.
Oh, yeah, no, that album got me through my flight to Spain. That album kept me going. That shit was, I needed that, like, bro, that plane ride was fucking whack.
Yeah, like, I got onto it so late, I was still listening to Late Registration and, like, all the other ones that came out before that, like, even Graduation, but, like, that alone, that one itself, like, that was nice.
Yeah,
I definitely liked his flow in, like, each and every song, like, and again, the production was outrageous.
Yeah, and like Kanye was really out again doing things that like nobody else was doing. He was setting up, like, the way he was setting up his story. So remember, College Dropout was then followed by Late Registration, and then was followed by Graduation. Three albums that are literally connected together. Not many rappers or artists, I feel like, are really out there still kind of doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, some of them make like a 1 to 2, but Kanye was able to successfully make 3 rap albums that definitely and the wit can perfectly in a straight line together. And it was crazy. Especially, and like, think about it. Even when he got to Graduation, he did some shit that, like, not many people could do. He actually beat a pretty high famed rapper at the time. He put 50 Cent down. And 50 Cent was shitting on everybody.
That was a whole,
including Ja Rule.
That was funny because that was just a competition to get motherfuckers buying albums any damn way. It was no way to lose that shit. And he did. He came out on top of that shit.
Right.
But the thing with him, like, is I feel like everybody get their personal favorites. It's almost like a Jordan in a certain effect. You know what I mean? Mm. Because there's a lot of people who can enjoy Kanye now who probably can enjoy Kanye in the past.
I can understand that. I definitely think his sound has been modified more than I would say him himself.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, for some people, has become a lot more relatable than it used to be.
And then the thing about it is, you got to look at the motherfucker as an artist. He aged as an artist fine. Like, it's hard to find songs that he put out genuinely in his genre that you don't like. Like, that's why them bitches was hits. Like, they might come under certain criticism, but when that motherfucker put out a single, it go hard. And I personally like this shit. Like,
yeah, I still like most of the singles. Now Kanye is so, and he's been about the music so much that he's one of the few artists that, like, makes music because they truly enjoy it. Mm. And I feel like there's not that many rappers out there who do that. It's kind of upsetting to me, because especially being a fan of the game, like, damn, I wish I really was a rapper, because I literally would just be at home making music all the time, but I feel like
that's how you get the best music, is when you enjoy it.
Like, yeah, when you
like, if especially when you're creating it so much, like, I feel like if you're just making music just because everybody else is doing it, it ain't gonna really come out as organic as you want it to. You're gonna want to sound like everybody else just because it's so easy.
Yeah, and Kanye was good at it.
When that nigga debuted and put himself out, he literally changed the game.
No, yeah,
it still changed tonight. Like, the gangsters and hip hop dressing like that nigga dressed back then.
Yeah,
like, you know what
True
I mean.
Shit.
Now the pistols is in a motherfucking
fanny pack.
It's in a fanny pack.
Shoulder bag, bro. You got the pistol. Like, in the shoulder bag, and I got the extra clip.
Bro, niggas trying to beat the old Kanye. Like, that nigga set a motherfucking trend that stood. Like, niggas wasn't on that fashionista shit. Niggas was still on that DMX shit. Niggas was wearing bandanas and big clothes.
Yeah, and shit Kanye like that. Completely changed that entire. It was crazy. It went from being like big ass clothes to like skinny jeans at one point. Then just everything's fitted now. Everything perfectly fits.
Everybody was wearing like snow goggles, but nobody knew how to ski or snowboard.
Yeah, that crazy
type of shit.
And it's just low key coming back. Bro, you know, like, I was thinking about them.
Bro, goggles, like, I got, but that's the sad part, bro. I have some. That's why I'm so guilty of that shit, bro. Like, I still have those.
Bro, I got put onto the shoulder bag game too. It's crazy. Bro, I was in New York. I was just like, bro, everybody's got that shit. I see the benefit though. But I had another. Oh, one of my last points that I always will continue to say about Kanye West for sure is that, like, you know, he came out rapping phenomenal, but he was also a crazy good producer. Like, he would have been the Dr. Dre of this generation. I will still believe that. Yeah. Dr. Dre of this generation, if he wasn't so damn good at rapping.
Nah, he definitely the Dr. Dre of this generation, because motherfuckers forget Dr. Dre was a rapper.
But he wasn't that good at rapping.
He was, like, you gotta think, though, it was a different standard for rap back then.
That's true. True. Like, West Coast rap, like, when it came to, like,
they had that shit in the chokehold.
Mainly, everybody had, like, everybody had the same flows. It was just about what you were saying. Like,
Bow Down was being played in the club. You know what I mean? What was that shit, Ice Cube? You could do it, put your back into it.
Oh yeah.
That was
Ice Cube was hard.
That was a club banger.
Yeah, Ice Cube was hard.
Ice Cube was always hard. He was
good
always
day.
Yeah, that's niggas,
like,
niggas
good was getting, day, like, bro.
Niggas met your auntie, the Ice Cube. You know what I mean? Type shit. Like, motherfuckers forget, like, because shit done came so far. Like, it's just how soon we forget. Like, motherfuckers, like, yeah. Like, you gotta look at Kanye in 10 years. Like, you gotta think this nigga got $1 billion clothing line, like, and he just, like, got into fashion for real. Like, you know what I mean? He was always fly. He just decided to make fly. You know what I mean?
Like I said, anything he wore, like, he made it cool for the generation. Yeah. Like, no matter what he chose to wear.
Like look at T.I. Like, niggas weren't wearing suits with hoodies and shit like that. You know what I mean?
It's just crazy how much he's, like, impacted the game and, like, how this artist is truly shaped. Like, Kanye, starting from the bottom, becoming now one of the faces in rap Rushmore or whatever you want to call it, that he's in there, 100%. But again, moving on, let's talk about another artist who's created another really good, powerful project that people love, Drake. Drake, it's been 10 years since So Far Gone. How do you guys, you know, kind of around the same questions? How do you guys kind of feel like this shit has aged? How do you think the artist has grown since then, and like that kind of thing? And like, I went and sat back down with So Far Gone, and honestly, I low-key kind of feel like he cheated to fame, in a sense. Because I literally go back to this, and I look like, damn, I either don't remember half the shit that was on here that wasn't, like, a certain single at some point. And then when I do go back and listen to it, I'm just kind of like, it's all kind of meh, except for the singles. Like, the shit that really sticked out to me, and these were all the popular singles at the time, were Uptown, Congratulations, fucking, at least for me personally, November 18th, and I think the other one would be Sooner Than Later. Oh, and Best I Ever Had. Those are the ones that really stick out. Everything else is just kind of washed.
They say if you
I think what was so popular about it was, like, the songs that weren't popular, like, really stood out, like, a lot. The ones that weren't on the radio stood out, like, very much. I'm sorry, but like, Houston, Atlanta, Vegas was a big one because nobody really paid attention to, like, Drake being a singer.
I fuck with Houston, Atlanta, Vegas.
You know, like, that was a good one. Successful, of course. Well, that was a popular song. Ignorant Shit. Like, that's, to me, like, that's when Drake is, like, undeniably great. Like, can't nobody touch him when he actually chooses to rap. Now, when he does, like, all the singing and the auto-tune, whatever, like, that can be, like, debated. But as far as, like, when he actually chooses to, like, put pen to paper and rap, the man's nice.
That
was one of the songs that, like, really stood out to me. The fucking feature with Omarion, like, the Bria's interlude was a big one, just because they're, like, both of them doing a duet together, like, and sounded like very good harmonizing in the trip. And what was another one? Like, did you say Congratulations?
Yeah.
Congratulations and The Calm was another one, because that's when, like, again, like, coming from Kanye, like, well, coming from Drake, Kanye is, like, one of his, like, biggest inspirations. And, like, on The Calm, that was, like, Drake being honest. Like, really being honest with what was going on in his life. And I feel like when you got songs like that that people can really relate to, I think people, like, really catch on to it and really listen to it even more, so.
I almost forgot how much he was, like, really trying to figure out the balance of the whole singing versus rapping. Like, there's so much fucking singing.
No, you know what? It takes time, though. Like, because it's...
That's another thing.
It's always, like, it can't be too much singing, but also it also can't be, like, too much rapping. Like, too much... Because I feel like... Because nowadays with songs today, like, it's mainly just about, like, how the beat sounds and what the tempo is like.
No, it's a thing, though. It's funny that you picked these albums now that I think about it. These parts, too. Because these motherfuckers was transcending. Because when this shit came out, it was like, when it came out, the loudest part about it was risky. Because, like, hood niggas was only playing this shit, like, because bitches was listening to it. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, and that's, like, the easiest Supreme ashtray. I'm using the Supreme ashtray.
Yeah.
So,
put that on wax.
Like, but that's the thing, though. Like, now, like, he set a trend, though. Like, he made it so, like, now a lot of hip hop gangster shit is being crooned to you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, without
motherfucking, it ain't honest, it ain't really like
without What the fuck is this shit called? Now thank me later. What the fuck is this? Damn.
So far gone.
Without So Far Gone, Rich Homie Quan wouldn't have got off so smooth. Because he was like, for real, he's a thug.
If you really think of, now that you really think about it, that he does make a good point. Because Rich Homie Quan had a lot of singing in his life.
Exactly.
Like, he was trying to sing and rap too.
But the thing is, he made he set a trend. Mm-hmm. He made it more legible for motherfuckers to enjoy. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So if y'all ain't like enjoying the music, he created a wave with the shit. So if you didn't even like the shit, you had to. And now look, it's so far. Now we, this much later, we listen to YNW Melly. That's undeniable gangster shit, and it's being sung to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like he kind of created, created the envelope to be pushed in that perspective. You know
like,
what I mean?
Where you have to like sing on your hooks all the time, and it has to.
I mean, I can see him definitely doing it. I'm not a fan of it because like, I just want personally. Just raps.
No,
that's all I really want. Cool. So that's why, like, that kind of shit. I definitely, like, have seen what he does. I've enjoyed some songs. I'm not in any way, shape, or form a Drake fan whatsoever. But I see the trends that he set for sure. I've seen the things that, like, he's done. But this project, to me, just, I don't think it's that great. And I don't really think it has aged very well, but it definitely has aged in the sense that, like, holy shit, I get, like, I can almost say, like, in a weird kind of way, Young Thug is a weird spawn of this kind of shit. Same with, like, Uzi.
Just because of the singing
and rapping. Just because of, like, the singing and the rapping and the kind of the flair that he was adding to it. Because those are two niggas who do a shit ton of flair. Just in your face.
Well, like I said, like, he definitely, like both of you guys said, like, he made a wave. Like, he was trendsetting, so. But I feel like as far as, like, when it came, like I said, when it came to the raps from him, So Far Gone, that's what I appreciated the most. Like,
well, do you think it's aged, though? How do you think it holds up to today?
I feel like it aged very well because, again, like you said, like, it set a trend for, like, the rappers today to want to be able to do that and be comfortable. So, I think it's aged pretty well because, like I said, if you go back to it, like, there's, like, other than the ones that were pretty popular, the ones that weren't popular were even more nicer. So, like, I feel like a lot of people paid attention to. Like, going down 10 years, like, if you were to go to, a Drake concert, even if it wasn't, like, the songs they heard on the radio, people still know the songs from that. Just because, like, it could have been an album, honestly, but for it just being a mixtape, it was still pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna piggyback on all that because I think that this album holds up because of what it was before. I mean, right now, I couldn't even tell you off the top of my head like how many tracks is on the So Far Gone that's here right now. But the one before was only 7 tracks, and not all those songs made it onto that.
That was comeback season, right? That might have been
comeback. Also officially it's 18 tracks on So Far Gone.
Nice.
So some of those songs actually didn't come back to this album right now, but I definitely think it holds up because it gives you that perspective of who Drake was then. And like, as y'all said, like, yeah, he may be trendsetting with this, but that's just an evolution. And with this new So Far Gone album, I mean, it gives you a dual hand, like who he was and who he is now. And I think it blends well. I mean, because for me, I don't even think that I even separate the two for him, singing and rapping. I think he blends it so well to where it's not a dual thing for him.
I think he blends it well now, but I think originally and during this time, it does not. To me personally, in this project, it's two separate entities. They appear in the same song, but it's like two separate things to me. I think he's gotten way to the point where he can easily do it. I mean, come on, this man made a whole fucking like R&B track. Like, he's got it mastered now. Yeah, but now he
made an whole R&B side.
Like, it's like ashy rough.
I think this was the
tough elbows.
The best thing about this shit, as far as the aging, this was the last of like Drake being like the nice guy. This is like right before, like,
I will say, I think
Thank Me Later was next. Like, this is when we got to see World Breaker Drake.
Yeah,
like right after that. Like, you know what I mean?
Raw and personal, because like, I will say, like, a lot of his music back then was definitely like very like emotional feel, like filled with a bunch of emotion. And now that he's gotten older too, on top of that, like he's matured more, he takes things a little bit differently.
Yeah, so
now
he's Kurt as fuck. Like when that whole Meek Mill and shit happened at the beginning of the
like,
he got that like, shit. No, he started that shit and got it over with. Done, you know
he's,
what
like,
I mean?
He's like, all right, I'm done. Like
he was emotional, but now he's still like within emotional, but he's still he's like more honest about his emotion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think when he said that whole like, when that's done, I'm next in line type line. I think we was all kind of like, that's like that ain't really that wasn't a Drake line to say at that point in time. But like now, it kind of opened the door for him to be more like confrontational about what he know motherfuckers think he thinking.
So you think this project is aged well? You think it's like you can hold up to today's music?
As far as a Drake fan and his within his within his discography, yes. If you that kind of a person, then yeah, because it's almost like looking at comic books, you know what I mean? It shows that it's almost like with the Kanye shit, it's the evolution of that person. Yeah. If you don't think it aged well, then you probably just not that big of a Drake fan.
Well, I mean, I would agree with this. So like using your comic book analogy, the only difference in that kind of thing is like certain stories can still work in certain times, and I think that you can also still kind of apply it at the same time. Certain stories work then versus now. To me, it's like the reason why I don't think it can still hold up now because it's such a growth project to me. It's such a I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do.
No, that's what, like exactly. That's what that was my whole point about saying that was the last of the Drake being nice because that was the last of the him being like I don't know maybe even insecure to some point. Like he wanted to put out something that he know would be solid and he didn't want to take no risk on it. The next point in time, he was just like, all right, I know I got you motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Like,
I just thought, and I'm saying it's just like a project. Like, if I was going to, like, if this came out like 2019 right now and I was listening to it, I'd almost be kind of like, dude, what the hell is this?
Well, I get that in that perspective of holding up, but then you got to think, like, at that point in time, that didn't happen then. So if it was like the absence of that, like, if we weren't already listening to, like, you know what I mean? Gangsta hip-hop rappers, like, doing this shit that he, like, already created, then it'd be a different...
Yeah, I get that. Like, at the time it came out, I definitely enjoyed the stuff. Like, I was really into, like, Thank Me... Or what was it after? Was it Thank Me Later? Yeah, I definitely enjoyed all that shit, like, then.
But he set it up so you could, though, because the motherfuckers weren't on that shit. And then when he put out Thank Me Later, you was already into, like, enjoying that shit.
Oh, yeah, but that's the thing. But that's the thing. At the time, especially, it's crazy, though, because I grew out of it. I, like, fell out of that shit. I actually stopped enjoying it.
Like, this is my thing. The funny thing about Drake is, it's a question of whether or not being soft, all right? So you got to separate your shit from that. Now, when Thank Me Later came out, nigga, I was in prison. That's where I was listening to. And that was like some of the livest shit I had heard in that point in time. Because not just because of the samples and how he like lined the shit up, which that was a great way to put the shit together. But it was like I didn't have a problem with enjoying that shit within myself. You know what I mean? You gotta be like not tough enough, but you ain't gotta be worrying about that shit. You gotta have so far gone, already gone. You know what I mean? You gotta already be done and enjoyed that shit to that point where you listening to Thank Me Later, you like, okay, this nigga turned. Cause you know that's not even, you know that wasn't even his like, his style at that point in time. He wasn't like so aggressive.
Yeah, he definitely had a, his like growth spurt was so much different from Kanye's.
But he's not like going hard on the hip hop and shit. He's just being more brash with what he's putting out, but like with his lyricism, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get that for sure, and that like also has to do with a lot of it. His mentor being Lil Wayne.
It's kind of like you got to look at how you listen to like Outkast albums. Like the one you listen to kind of sets it up for the next one.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and that's kind of what he did with.
And that's what I'm saying, like Kanye. That's what I was saying. Kanye did with the whole like Red College Dropout and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people like follow that blueprint. They could understand that you can make an album into like a story. Like they started.
He's still going.
They helped pave the way of making people give more of a fuck when they came to making it out.
Can you imagine the album Drake puts out after like motherfuckers unexposed him for having a child and all that shit like that? Like he's setting up for something crazy. I feel like
the next Drake album will be way more aggressive than his last project, honestly.
Yeah,
well, that's like, that, a lot of people were like,
I'm not saying the whole thing will be.
Nigga done got Pusha T beat up. Like,
Like, you gonna definitely hear the pain in his voice.
But that's the whole thing. You compare the artist to the person. Mm-hmm. This is like the same thing as watching the Richard Pryor stand up when he tell a joke about setting himself on fire. You know, you're not just listening to the music, you're looking at the person. That's what makes it more enjoyable.
Yes, but I just thought about how fucked up that scenario would be. Like, that's some rich people shit. Low-key, like, all right, set this homeless man on fire while you play this Drake in the background. Let me watch this thing burn.
That was the weed. Yo. That was just
was
the
that
weed.
The weed? Because I straight thought that about was the that weed. When you said that. Like, that's what I imagined. I was like, I feel like that would be kind of lit, but a fucked up experience.
Cam, you're floating.
You can't do that. You can't. You could have did that in the 80s with a rock, man. That shit would be live as fuck back then with that.
Yeah.
And some Ozzy Osbourne shit.
Some Nine Inch Nails shit. Some industrial shit.
Type of shit.
Nine Inch Nails.
And that man would have been honored.
Yeah, he would
have. He probably wouldn't even have went out. He would have just been honored. He would have burnt to death. Like, you couldn't have put that man out.
Fucking Mr. Reprovich in the background and shit.
What up?
True, he's fair enough. 10 years. 15 years for College Dropout. 10 years for So Far Gone.
Big ups. Big Moving ups on. To Drake and Kanye on their 10 years. On their what the fuck is that shit called?
Anniversary
of their Shouts albums out to and their success.
For sure. Shouts out to the Yeezy. The Nike Yeezy line was the dopest, though.
Yeah, that was Nike Yeezy. That was Nike Yeezy. October. And that was Smooth Face Drake.
I'm so mad I
can't. So, yeah, bro, no, my. So this dude went to school. He actually got a pair of Red Octobers. It was fucked. I've seen them too. Crazy.
Bro, like, I've seen them in person too, bro. That's all I wanted.
He probably pissed himself when he seen Red Octobers in school. That was probably like pornographic to his ass.
Check it out.
This nigga love shoes and the stories behind them, bro. Like, I swear, if Jordan broke his ankles in a pair of shoes, he'd buy them from him.
Hold on. Actually, fun fact. Check this shit out. Fun fact. Here he goes. I actually got the sneakers in 2013 when I was in college. Because I used to think that shit was dumb as fuck, spending like hundreds of dollars on sneakers. I used to be like, bro, y'all are dumb as fuck.
Look at yourself.
But my homie Mang came. And the way he described the sneaker game to me was crazy. He made it seem like it was like a piece of art. And that moment, I just fell in love with that shit. Second fact, I actually hate fucking Jordan. I just enjoy the sneakers. Third fact, I really didn't get into the Yeezy Nike line until a little bit later. Shit was hot, but I'm way too poor to afford them. What the fuck am I going to do with a $2,000 sneaker? Like, I can't wear that, bitch. That's an investment.
This is my thing, though. This nigga don't want a $2,000 sneaker. He don't mind having $2,000 in sneakers.
Yeah, that's
like
actually better.
Actually, like 3 or 4 of them. But he don't want a they be like gym shoes.
Well, the Red October,
and you don't see the nigga hooping.
I'd be mad if somebody stepped in some mud as a Red October.
Oh, I would beat his ass, bro. I would beat his ass.
I'm not even wearing
that. That's why niggas do that shit.
How dare you?
That's why niggas do that shit. Because niggas, like, y'all. That's why niggas. No, that's why niggas play basketball. Bro, and them one Jordan. And them fours.
Basketball.
Why?
Bro, that shit.
And them Eminem Jordans.
You know what's crazy? Eminem ain't even got a pair of his own Jordans.
He do.
Nah, he sold them.
He sold them?
He sold his pair that he originally got, and he was trying to buy another pair.
Nah, well, fuck him.
Well,
right? You know why? Because the nigga ain't a hooper. Okay. They don't, like, if he had his own microphone or recording, like how Dr. Dre got, like, the you know what I'm saying? That makes sense. Like, I don't want a fucking shoe from a rapper. What the fuck do you know about walking, bitch? Like, you know, like, right. You get carried everywhere. You got sitting in the backseat of limos and shit.
Kanye, bro.
What do you say about Lady Gaga?
He was like, Lady Gaga, I love her music. What the fuck she know about cameras? Bro, I was crying, bro. Because I think she was on, like, a Polaroid, like, ad or some shit. Yeah. Bro, hilarious.
Now, Kanye, I give a pass. His shoes do look like this shit.
Oh, not balling them? Nah.
But, moving on. You know, speaking of fashion, this actually kind of segues us into the next topic. So, Atlanta rapper, first known as Titty Boy.
Titty.
Reprised himself as motherfucking 2 Chainz. Dropped an album this year, y'all.
We did, though.
And it's called Rap or Go to the League.
He did, though.
So what's crazy, okay, so listen to Rap and Go to the League. Originally, I was never really into 2 Chainz. I think I preferred him more as Titty Boy. But I never really like thought he was a good rapper. I like enjoyed some of his music and I thought he was funny, but I never thought he was good at rapping. 2 Chainz drops Pretty Girls Like Trap. I listen to Pretty Girls Like Trap. I instantly become a 2 Chainz fan now. This in that album I saw a lot of structure, a lot of effort, and a lot of bars. And I actually enjoyed a lot of the features that were on there. So going into this album, I'm expecting, you know, to kind of get some stuff, especially with the stuff that followed up after that, including a couple singles that he was a part of. I was actually kind of salty and disappointed at To Rapper to go to the league. First issue kind of for me being that, like, 2 Chainz is giving me advice in a lot of weird areas. And it's a lot of shit that I wasn't really expecting for him. Advice from 2 Chainz. Like, I mean, he could tell me, you know, some, like, hey, don't be in the streets, that kind of shit. But, like, this is literally a song where this nigga tells you about taxes and how taxes work.
Hey, hold on. I love that. Hey, I love that bar. You got me fucked up. Hold on. That was one of the hardest bars of that album. He said they want damn near. He said they want 37% of your. If you make more than $500,000, they want 37% of that, which is damn near 40%, which is damn near 50%. Like, hold on, you wouldn't listen.
I think that's what made the album very special, though.
Hold on, like, this is the thing you might be going through, and I'm gonna admit, I went through the same thing when I listened to the fucking Carter Five the first time, because you start, like, you, after being, like, you know what I mean, saturated with so much of a certain type of music, your ass gotta actually listen to it. And then you gotta, like, I swear, when I listened to the Carter Five the first time, I was like, damn, do I like this? Wait, do I like music? Wait, maybe I like this and I don't like the shit I've been hearing. Now, do I like the shit I've been hearing? What the fuck? And then, like, I had to go back and listen to that shit again. That's one of my favorite fucking albums. I'm still listening to it. And that's the same thing I kind of went through with Rapper Go to the League. Because when I first played it, it was kind of like, I don't know, I done heard so much shit from 2 Chainz. He rapped so much on that shit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like the 2 Chainz I'm used to hearing, where it's like a lot of bangers and a few punchlines. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you know what I mean? Wood grain, chestnut, titty foot, chestnut. I knew that one because it stuck out. It was one of the first. It was one of the hardest punchlines on the whole tape. You know what I mean? And now it's like everything was. Everything was like something. It was like everything was a metaphor or a simile or some shit. It was like a battle rapper or some shit. But it was like when it got like smooth and like slowed down and all that shit. Like I was able to enjoy it. It's something you're supposed to ride to. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. So I was saying the thing about the tax song is it's so fucking unrelatable. Cause he's in such a different tax bracket for me, like, and he's telling me shit that, like, it's shit that, like, if you sat down and just actually, like, read some shit, you would know yourself in, like, fucking 2 minutes. Like, it's just weird, like, getting that kind of advice from him. Not that he couldn't give advice, he is a parent, but it's just kind of like I wasn't ready for it. And on a lyrical note, I like this. I would give this compared to the last album, definitely like a B. Be the last album, C+. And especially, you know, when he says I use good pussy like his lotion, he's really funny on this shit. And he's never had a problem being funny, and he's definitely got great flows. It's just like the setup, it's too much thought for 2 Chainz. It's
midnight.
I think what's so special about it though, my bad, I ain't even know
that. You good.
I think what's so special about it though is the fact that he was able to do that on the record. Like, granted it's a We've been talking about evolution this whole time.
It's a LeBron James produced record.
I think that's why 2 Chainz album, Rapper Go to the League, was so special and why it's so like highly acclaimed right now. Granted, it's only been out for like less than a month. Like, I feel like when he gets to start storytelling about certain things, whether it be about like violence or death, or even about tax and tax evasion, or even about trying to make a comparison or like a metaphor about college basketball, like with like rapping and all that. So I think compared to his last album, it was like very informative. Like it was very like filled with a lot of information that I feel like kids today don't really pay attention to. Like granted you, like you said, you can like read about it, go on the internet and search about it. When's the last time you like seen a kid do that? You feel me? Or like even heard about or have, unless they heard it from their parent. Hearing it from somebody else is always like, I didn't really think about that. You know, like especially like this much is coming out of taxes, especially when they learn it at a young age. Or it may be somebody.
You know what? We're older age. We're actually actually lucky to be in a like an era of hip hop where artists will actually say some shit like that,
and it still because, be cool.
Like fuck me being cool. Nobody's ever said that shit. Yeah. Like nobody's ever gave attention to like what you need to worry about to avoid.
Well, other than Jay-Z, other than Hov.
Well, Jay-Z has said that shit. Jay-Z, but like. Not like Jay-Z rapped it to you. Mm-hmm. He said it. He said it. Like he's like, while I got your attention. Yeah. And then you like, okay, you got certain, like, I think one of the best lyrical like escapades on that shit was like Rare. That was like my favorite one. Like with Lil Wayne and E-40 on that motherfucker. Like
that was pretty legendary.
Like they all said that's some shit legendary. Where I had to like listen to it again type shit.
Especially
but then you gotta think like he did some weird. He had Kodak Black on the album. He had Kodak Black and Lil Wayne on the same album. And this is the thing. Kodak Black and Lil Wayne been going like Lil Wayne ain't said shit about the whole Kodak Black situation. Like his daughter done spoke on it, you know what I mean? Kodak Black is going at him. He done already said he wanted to fight the nigga for best rapper alive. Nigga done told Lil Wayne to eat his ass and all kind of shit. I don't know if niggas remember that, but that was a real Kodak Black statement he told Lil Wayne. And it's funny, 2 Chainz had a nigga on the album, on the song, where he spoke on like, what the fuck did Kodak Black say about not signing with Cash Money, signing with Baby Society and shit?
It's probably like my favorite song on
that. Type of shit, like, man.
Yeah, that was kind of a wild mix.
That was
Midnight. Like, I honestly think you need to like take you some time and have a bad enough day and listen to it again. Like I feel like you didn't give it a fair chance.
I really did because being excited for this album, gave it a fair chance. Here's the thing. I enjoyed the album from like a lyrical standpoint. Like I said, I gave it a B, but from a content standpoint, I'm giving it a C. And from a sound standpoint, I'm also going to give it a C. This also just sonically did not really work with me a whole lot. Like there are a couple beats, and the beats I would have to say, like I like Mama, I Hit a Lick with Kendrick Lamar on there. Mm-hmm. That was one of the more kind of obscure and kind of weird kind of beats. It's kind of like ZZ's, right? Where it's got like, you could feel like a funky rhythm to it.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I did like NCAA or NCAA.
Yeah, I like NCAA.
I did like $2 Bill, but it was kind of, I wasn't a flake. I enjoyed $2 Bill, but I'm more there. I realize I'm really there for the E-40 feature. And I just enjoy 2 Chainz, and I don't care for Lil Wayne in there. And that's because she's like, I'm wearing like a $2 bill. Like a $2 bill. It's kind of like, bro, I can go to the bank and get like a shit ton of $2 bills. So, also.
But not in regular transactions. It's rare. You would have to go to the bank.
Another thing I really did not care for were some of the features on this. So far, who I did like, E-40, Chance the Rapper, Kendrick Lamar.
No, the Travis Scott Chances
Verse. Hold on. I did like Chances Verse. I'm just like, I'm sorry. Tier. Also, Chance Rapper. I did like Chances Verse actually on I'm Not Crazy. I'm actually there for the Chance Verse. But the thing about it is, though, he got a Young Thug verse. Young Thug does his thing. He's cool. But he also continued to ride this weird wave where, like, everybody nowadays thinks that if we put Travis Scott on the album, it's going to make it 20 times better. Like, somehow Travis Scott, because of, like, you know, Asher Roll was up there, but, like, Travis Scott now is on this, like, he's on everybody's fucking album.
It kind of does, though. Like, if you pay attention to it, because it's not even about...
especially
it's not about you, though. It's about the Kylie Jenner fans that only know a few hip-hop artists, and then they, like, they go to, like, YouTube and type in Travis Scott. And it was like, oh, he's got a song with 2 Chainz, or oh, he's got a song with Lil Wayne, or oh, he's got a song with Chance the Rapper, oh, he's got a song with, you know what I mean? Because there's a lot of motherfuckers who not hip to hip hop, who hip to Travis Scott.
I mean, I get that, and I definitely, that's why, you know, having Ariana Grande on that could definitely bring in people like that for sure.
She had a nice feature as well.
And like that was just another song that like
I was a, that was like something the features totally were another. Like,
see, that's the thing; it's to each his own. Because the features were another highlight. Because you like said you didn't enjoy. I feel like Wayne as far as like Feature Wayne is still Feature Wayne. Like he'll get on your shit and
he
fuck
proved,
it up.
He did prove that in the Dollar Bill song.
He did. Like I mean, you might not have. I feel like you need to listen to it like one more time.
I literally rap Jesus' album.
That nigga said like the 13th floor. Fucking, I'm gonna take the stairs. You won't see a 13th floor on the elevator.
I feel like his features were like very solid. Like every song that they were on, like, was just perfect. Like, I don't feel like Lil Wayne would have sounded as good on Threat to Society as he did on $2 Bill, or having E-40 on, like, or having Travis Scott on NCAA rather than Whip. Like, all those songs, like, were fit well. And it was, for it being a 2 Chainz album, it was very cohesive. Like, everything was put well together. Everything was structured well, like. The thing with 2 Chainz, I felt like he always had the potential. It was just all about him structuring it correctly. Like, he always had the bars. Like, he was always good on any type, like, on top of beats. Like, the bars were always there for 2 Chainz. Like, granted, it ain't no, like, complex shit all the time. Like, a nigga said, I play on a clit like a guitar. Like, nigga, that's some simple shit, but you get what he's saying.
Yeah, but that's 2 Chainz.
Hold on. That's the thing, though. There's brilliance in simplicity, yeah. Because if a lot of niggas have watched the movie called The Inkwell, and when you hear a line like that, it's like, oh, did that nigga watch the movie too? Mm-hmm. Because it's like you certain shit like that, you feel like The Inkwell is a small genre of people, but in the movie there's a line he say, I'm paraphrasing right now, but it's like when you play in a guitar. And, like, if niggas watch that shit as a virgin and then got some pussy, like, that was the first thing they thought. Like, you know what I mean?
it's a really good reference. He's always been really great with his reference.
That's the whole thing. That's the thing, like, because a lot of motherfuckers won't pick up on shit like that. It's like you go into a small genre of people and it's kind of like quality over quantity at that point.
No, yeah.
Everybody might not get it, but the people who get it, they're gonna fucking go crazy about it because it's like, oh, you saw it with me.
Yeah, he wrote very well when he was doing this album. That I definitely give him 100% credit. And the structure was never an issue, especially at least for me when it came to this. It was just kind of like the sound and like the overall content. Mm.
And I mean, this is just me just piggybacking off of what we just heard, but yeah. Just listening to all this, I'm gonna go ahead and say that album that he came out with was just different for him. I mean, and I think it works. I like the features, and I can see that point on the sound. I mean, I did have to go through and listen to a few of the tracks a few times just to be like, okay, I see where he was going with it. But yeah, I mean, it's still 2 Chainz, and I actually liked it for what it was. And for really what it was doing, content wise and just sound.
It was just one of them like albums of 2 Chainz that had like a lot of substance. That's what I fuck with a lot. Like, not only that, the fact that he's consistent, but the fact that he can be consistent with like more than just songs. He can be consistent with full on projects.
I think the thing that's being overlooked about this is, and that's the great thing about it is because it's being overlooked. Is that this was produced halfway by LeBron James and shit.
Yeah,
so this was like, exactly, this is the first time we had that, you know what I mean? If this shit didn't work, if it would have been like a great flop and not even up to debate, then it's like this shit can't happen again. The fact that it happened this well, now there's opportunities for this shit to happen more often. That's the great thing about it. Now you got like, you got opportunity for like the NBA to get more and more into hip hop, which is always like touched on. You got Travis Scott producing like music for NBA games
NBA
and shit
has
like
always
that.
Been, like, incorporated
exactly, but now it's getting closer and closer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's got a friend who's went to the league and all that shit.
Yeah,
like,
it definitely opened doors and, you know, branched out a whole new scene.
Yeah, that's the whole point about this shit. It made a good album. It's a solid album. Like, it may not do for everybody, but that's why I keep saying it's like to each his own.
Oh,
like,
yeah, for sure. I mean, because, that's just how
you know what I mean?
That's how like anything works. It's just personal preference.
Exactly. A Boogie just went platinum and only like 17,000 motherfuckers left the house to go and buy this damn actual album. You know what I mean? Like, exactly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So
like, yeah, but it's like, for me, it's not going to be in like my top five albums for 2 Chainz. It'll probably be like, I'll go back to a couple songs, especially because I really do fuck with Mama, I Hit a Lick. Like, I love Kendrick's verse on that shit. But I don't know. I feel like, so at least when I keep thinking about it for this album, I feel like I show up for a lot more of these features than anything, and that kind of like bothers me. And that's why, like, I still continue to listen to it. I still continue to go through the whole thing because I'm trying to get myself to be really into it. But I just don't really kind of feel like, I don't see that happening right now.
I think the thing about you, the difference with me and you is you was probably waiting on it more than I was.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just kind of seen a couple posts about it coming out on Instagram. I'm like, oh, that's live. And then, like, I get to see them, like, oh, no, these niggas put some work into this shit. And then like, you, like, if yeah. you, like, really into it, you've been looking at this shit for the past 3 to 6 months, you know what I mean? You knowing this nigga about to do this shit, like, you got, like, this shit is already set up to a certain, like, standards, already on a pedestal, like, yeah, you know
I was,
what I mean?
I was also somebody who was, like, anticipating this album, and mainly, like, I guess why I like it so much is mainly because of the fact of, like, I'm someone who likes basketball. So seeing something that was like basketball themed and new, and it made like a bunch of like it was making a bunch of sense in his like in his case. So like listening to like all the songs and how they was like just meshing well with like the concept he was having for it, it just made sense.
Yeah, I got it. It just wasn't for me.
Yeah,
that's just basically at the end of the day, this project simply wasn't for me. I'm still a 2 Chainz fan. I still fucks with him. This album just wasn't for me.
Not like Pretty Girls Trap Music.
Except for the features.
Yeah, except for the features. I was pretty much there because I really, really fucked with the shit Chance said. I gotta pull that shit up. That shit was like mind blowing to me.
No, like he had a lot of different bars in there. Like my favorite one, he said, I told him Trump was gonna win. They said you lying.
Yeah,
you lying. Well, I was like, word. He was telling people though.
Like, that's, man. He definitely said, like, a lot of shit. And that's what kind of fucked it up for me is because he said a lot of shit. So, like, it's like you got to get used to listening to a different kind of 2 Chainz.
Features were, like, the features came with, look, was another thing that came with substance. Like, everything was, like, meaningful. Everything on that 2 Chainz album, I felt like was meaningful. It had some type of meaning behind it. Whether he was talking about, Mama, I just hit a lick, like.
Nah, see, the funny thing about listening to these, like, hip-hop artists, like 2 Chainz, like Cameron, like Lil Wayne, like E-40, they got a certain kind of honesty where they won't tell you the whole story, but then you got to look back on it, like, 10 years later, like, damn, that nigga was telling the truth.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know what I mean? Like, remember back in the day when Lil Wayne said some shit like, but she probably would touch it and burn you like Usher. And then you look back after, like bitches was saying he had herpes and all that shit. It make you wonder, like, what kind of stories that, like, they know amongst each other.
Yeah, they know it's like a whole different society. Yeah.
Exactly.
The Chance line that I found that I really fucked with, it was, I'm like a fortune teller, Orson Weller, more developed Shark Tank idea. I'm an orca whale and ocean dweller. I was like, all right, Chance. I'm fucked with that. I'm an orca whale and ocean dweller. Like, oh, shit.
There's a new type of... This is my thing about that Chance. That specific Chance the Rapper has been like... Like, somebody spilled Lil Wayne on it. Like, that's not the... Like, Chance the Rapper always had wordplay, but, like, he never was that brave with the shit.
And his favorite artist was... Yeah, he even said his favorite artist was Lil Wayne. Like, yeah. Carter 3 was... I mean, all the Carters to me were like, but definitely for
all
Chance,
the
like
Carters.
Carter 3 in particular was like a, to me, like, I felt like Carter 3 was sort of like similar to like how 2 Chainz put together Rapper Go to the League, I would say. Just based off of like Lil Wayne's evolution when it comes to albums, like Carter 1 sounds totally different from Carter 3.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You can definitely tell the difference in, like, the way, like, his bars have, like, grown.
And it's the thing. It's always, like... See, that's the funny thing about it, because they all work in a certain kind of frame of mind. Because you can listen to the whole Carter, like, Carter 1. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you can, like, you can rock the Carter 3, you know what I mean? But, you, like, that's when it started getting... He became more of that pop star, you know what I mean? Like, Carter 5 is, like, motherfucking Goat Wayne. Like, goat Wayne. Like, that shit is... And I know, like, a lot of motherfuckers don't feel that shit, but motherfuckers gotta listen to that shit again. That Carter 5 shit is crazy. Like, but that's the whole thing about when you evolve as an artist within yourself. You know motherfuckers ain't expecting you to do nothing to mesh with hip-hop. We here for you, you know what I mean? So it's like, what do you do to step that shit up as yourself?
True. I will say, one thing I will really say that I do like about this album is that 2 Chainz really gave a fuck when he made it. That's my favorite thing about this project, is he actually gave a fuck.
Yeah, definitely.
And to end on that note, before we transition to our last topic, hold on, let me hit this bong real quick. I've been, like, waiting to do this.
Why didn't you hit it while I was talking?
Because I was going to fucking respond to what you were saying. I want to actually make sure I heard what you were saying instead
you
of
can hit
to
it
the weed.
Right the fuck now. This motherfucker got,
So,
final topic.
Besides, you know, 2 Chainz' album, being 2019, we've got, you know, some music that's, you know, flocked onto the scene. Is there any project specific, like, tracks or any groups that you guys are currently listening to? Or they're like, what is your favorite thing so far of 2019 that's been released so far?
Other than the 2 Chainz album, not a whole lot. Like, I recently listened to that Num Num Juice by Schoolboy Q. Fire, by the way. But, like, other than that, like, I haven't really, like, I feel like there was a whole bunch of music I'm still listening to that was coming from last year. Like, anything other than the 2 Chainz album, I haven't really paid attention to. Even though, like, people have been dropping, haven't really paid attention to them that much. So I'm also not really expecting any, like, albums to come soon, but I'm definitely, like, down to hear more music. Since it being, like, it's only, like, the third month of 2019, so.
Okay, so check it out. Num Num Juice. Fucking love it. I literally play this shit like maybe a couple times a day. Fuck, my bad. Super into it. Honestly, there haven't really been a lot of tracks or tapes that I really truly have enjoyed so far. So what I've currently been listening to besides Num Num Juice that else released is a producer named Eloquent who dropped the tape. It's just a B tape. I really like that so far. As well as Gangsta Doodles collaborated with Madlib, and they produced Gangsta Music Volume 1, which is essentially just a bunch of tracks picked by Gangsta Doodles by different artists. So I've kind of played around with some of that. John Wayne's on there, and I'm a John Wayne fan, so I actually enjoyed that. What really was hot to me, and it's really odd, is I'm really into this fucking group called Higher Brothers. And Higher Brothers are under the 88 Rising label, which is the Asian-only label. And basically, they are the equivalent of the Chinese Migos. And their album 5-Star has literally been fired. The beats are lit. The features go hard. They got Ski Mask, the Slump God, Soulja Boy, J.I.D., Denzel Curry, Schoolboy Q, and Rich Brian featured on this.
That's Big Draco to you.
Big Draco.
Oh, yeah.
Big Draco. And the beats are crazy. And the thing about it is, their English actually isn't horrific. It's like actually getting, I can tell it's been getting better. This is like their second album. But it's crazy how, like, if
broken English is the style.
You're right. I, like, wish I could understand the language because I could tell that they're flowing and just going so hard in their own language. It's crazy.
I like that. No, it's the exact opposite of the Wu-Tang Clan. I get it.
It's fucking crazy. Like, I really got to play a track for y'all sometime, but, like, that's it.
I just realized what he said. That's funny.
I've been listening to a lot of Baby and Stunna. That's the new Ignorant shit as far as, like, I guess you can call it gangster rap, like, as far as I know. Like, I'm sure it's a lot of new motherfuckers and shit, but as far as, like, niggas who actually just rap without singing and crooning, like, actually gangster rap, that's what I've been listening to. Like, I like it. It's in it. They got that, it's kind of that old school, like, cheeky feel where, like, they spin.
God.
No. I mean, in their videos where they don't go crazy in, like, the production of that. Like, they'll shoot this shit, like, walking down the street. Or, like, you know what I mean? In the house, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm going to keep real. You were selling in the moment that you said they were, like, GP.
Oh, no. As far,
you turned,
no,
I said,
as, far
that.
As lyricism goes, no.
Okay.
It's not about, like, these right. ain't those, like. But they say shit, like, that kind of makes sense to, from a hood nigga perspective. You know what I mean? When you hear that shit, like, that motherfucker. That nigga got a track where he say, I ain't signing unless it's a million more. I smell like a pound walking through Endoscope. You know what I mean? Like, that shit, that line hit hard from a nigga from that perspective. As a nigga who smell like a pound walking through a lot of real inconvenient places. Like, I smell like a pound walking through Crunch Fitness. Smell like a pound walking through Sleepy Bee. Like, I smell like a pound walking through all kind of, like, weird places that a nigga don't, like, why the fuck is it a pound here? He's like, you get that line. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that's what makes they got a lot of relatable shit, though. That's I can fuck with that. I'm definitely about to check that shit out.
And the baby can say a lot of shit where you hear that shit, you be like, that's a message for the kids. Like, that nigga say, you probably ain't heard how I'm rocking. I beat your ass up, leave my gun in my pocket. I'm like, ooh, I done that. Did that. Yeah. Like, yeah. They're like, niggas don't bring niggas on. Forgot about that. Niggas forgot about actually making your ass out of the fight. Like, no, I ain't about to shoot your ass. I got 3 minutes for you.
Yeah.
I'm about to beat your ass. Like, you know, you thought this was going to be easy. Like, nah, I fuck with shit like that. Like, I get it. Yeah. You know what I mean? It provides, like, a certain entertainment to a perspective. Everybody ain't going to enjoy it. That's what made this shit brave. Because you know you're not really saying that shit to everybody. You're only saying that shit to certain motherfuckers who are going to get it. That's why, you know what I mean? That's why Dan Quayle was, like, censoring shit, like, back in the day. Because he ain't want motherfuckers to hear shit like that. Because that shit invokes emotion from a certain type of people. Where, like, that's where you don't want them niggas motivated. Let me say one thing, because you had reminded me. You had said the topic of No Juice. Because I have been waiting on Schoolboy Q. Everybody been waiting on Schoolboy Q. Okay, hold on. Everybody been waiting on Schoolboy Q. Okay, hold on. Hold on. The nigga partner just died and all that shit. Okay, yeah. So we like, I'm like, all right. I know it's on the way. And like, I see a little snippet of it on Instagram. Like, I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like, what the fuck is this about to be? Like, this, I'm thinking, like, Letter to Mac or some shit. This nigga, like, Num Num Juice. I'm like, this nigga is still this nigga. Like, you know what I mean? This still, Action Girl, Wire Mouth on my nuts. This is just the same nigga.
Literally, two-door coupe popping out like Jack in the Box, nigga. I'm going to shoot at that 30s all that I got, nigga. Come on, bro.
That's it. Like, he's, I feel like this album's going to be ridiculous.
Bro, this album's going to be crazy. Num Num Juice ridiculous. Was fire. It was short and it was fucking sweet, bro. Like, it was crazy.
Like,
is like we touched on before, it's Schoolboy Q. Like, that's what we've been waiting for, and he brought it, and now we like, man, this is really about to be fire.
I really want this album to be like some shit. Like, I can't wait. I just want a whole lot of rapping.
A whole lot of rapping.
Fuck the feeling.
I pray to God for a Mac feature. I pray to God for a Mac
don't
feature.
Don't do that, bro. Rest in peace, Mac Miller. I was thinking about that same shit, bro.
Supposed to say shit like that.
Come on, bro.
Like, that's what Jinx said. Like, now, see, this why you ain't. This why you weren't able to enjoy Rapper Go to the League. Your ass be expecting shit that don't nobody say nothing about. But this is the thing, though. This is like, this is what you got to be able to appreciate. This nigga coming out off top as vintage Schoolboy Q.
Just Q,
bro. How the fuck do you come, like, he's not, like, this nigga.
You know the greatest feature Q has ever had? Sugar Free. Greatest feature. Greatest feature. That's a great feature. Like, granted, like, he was, like, off beat. Like, he was 2 months late. But, like, bro, like, Sugar Free was a nice feature.
He said they recorded the beat and the song, and then they put him on it when they released it.
Bro, I've been hyped for Schoolboy Q's album since, like, 2017.
That's about right.
I've been, like, because I went to the concert. I went to the concert for Blankface. Shit was fire.
Yeah, Blankface, that album was nice.
It's crazy, too. Like, I've been, my bad, I apologize. Yeah, I'm, like, just going off right now. Because I'm just so fucking hungry for Q.
Num-num juice.
Every time, bro, it is. Every time there's a feature, bro, I'm there. I don't give a fuck who made the song. That's the reason why I found the Higher Brothers is because Schoolboy Q is featured on one of their songs. I don't give a fuck.
All right, so just unwrapping this Num-num juice, man, I'm telling you. It's just like, it's just Q is Q. I mean, like,
but we love Q.
Yeah, I mean, just like through and through. Like, I mean, like between features, between like just his albums, like everything he owns.
Like,
just
I feel like he can get to a point where he's not gonna miss. Like, he's not gonna miss.
What do you? But you're. This is just Q being Q.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, yeah, like,
so it's not that crazy.
No, it's. I guess you gotta explain to me what you mean by that, like, crazy.
So, like, the hype that we've, like, accumulated for the, you know, just getting hearing Num Num Juice, how hype we are, is kind of just like, bro, it's Schoolboy Q.
Nah, but I see, like, that's not what I'm saying. Okay. I'm like saying that, I mean, like, Schoolboy Q has been fire since Schoolboy Q started.
Yeah.
And bringing it, like,
to this. I mean, like, we just, we hear it and we like, damn, that's fire. And he's just been fire through and through, no matter what he on, no matter how often he dropping. Like, everything he's putting out so far up until now is just fire.
That's true. Yeah. I mean,
it's fucking cute. I mean, there's two ways to listen to rap. It's like, you listen to that, it's like, biased perspective, you know what I mean? Just a motherfucker listening to music. And then you got motherfuckers who listen to music that actually write it, or like write like any kind of music, poetry, whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? Like putting your thought process in the rhyme. So that makes it a different type of perspective, you know what I mean? You're not the same kind of listener as someone who ain't never tried the shit. And I think that's what makes listening to artists like Schoolboy Q, Drake, Kanye West, you know what I mean? These specific motherfuckers, that's what make it that big of a deal, because you kind of know the process that they going through when they try and put this shit out. That's what make None On Juice crazy, because I think we waiting on this shit and we expecting crazier shit to come. Or like, not even crazier, but like I don't think nobody seen this shit coming. But like we was expecting something softer or something. Like, you know what I mean?
I didn't know what to expect, but I'm going to keep real. Actually, I don't want Num Num Juice on the album anymore.
Okay, this nigga.
No, like, I agree with that only because of, I'd rather you give me just that single and then give me the rest of some new release shit.
Yeah, because here's, and like, so it's funny, because Mac actually did this to me, and this is why. It's because, when he released Son of a Bitch. Party Foul. When he released the three singles, so it was Small Worlds, Programs, and Buttons. They were out for a while before the album released. And they were out for so long that it got to the point where I had heard them so much that it was like, this is three songs on the three on an album that could have a track list between ranging 1 and fucking 20. Like, that's still a good amount for me to be like, all right, we'll have to, the album's kind of ruined.
Problem is, niggas gonna play that shit 17 times before they hear the next single for that can come out on the album.
And I feel like with like that being like, if that were to be on the album itself, I feel like he's just gonna be make like, I'm gonna be like expecting songs to be around that one song rather than it being like whatever he chose to make for me. Like.
You would probably from a different artist, but not them TDE niggas. Them niggas is weird. Like, you know, it's that right kind of weird. Like, you know, not to expect nothing from them motherfuckers. And this Num Num Juice is just another example of like, you can't set them niggas to a certain platform.
I'm anticipating it on top of the fact of like trying to have high expectations from it. Because from hearing that snippet from that one song he got with Travis Scott, that's about to be some shit. Like, I really feel like his album's about to like really take off. Like,
it's gonna be good. There was like an article that I read. They were like five things we want from him. One of the things was like, they want a little, not just straight gangster rap. People want a little variety.
Yeah, like they want a little more insight, like, because he's not gangbanging no more.
Can he do variety though? Not that I'm not it saying. Ain't he even, can.
It, I feel like it he ain't can. Like, they showed that.
You got to look at music now. Like all these motherfuckers are like got to step outside of certain boxes. And the funny thing is that the box is outside the box. So where the fuck do you go? And when you got a nigga like Schoolboy Q who don't play all that weird shit, like, he can only go in so many different directions. Like,
you know what I'm saying? I feel like he
can only go against like the standards y'all done already set.
Yeah, pretty much.
I feel like a lot of the music that's been coming out, like, as far as like albums, a lot of the artists are starting to mature more, so they're not always talking about the same shit they were talking about in their first album. Like, especially with him, like, I feel like once he starts to mature and start going on like topics people can like really relate to at his age, or even if they not his age, they can still relate to it. Like, I feel like that's gonna make the music even more like popular.
I think NBA YoungBoy is a good example of how artists will have to mature through their music and like why they do this shit, because he was so young when he do this shit. Like Chief Keef, like anybody who can get in, fucking Justin Bieber, fucking anybody who can get in that fucking young, like, it's hard to like mature through that shit. It's almost like being a child actor.
It's hard to talk about it too.
Yeah, because we know that your ass been rich since you was 13 years old. So like, what the fuck? Like, a lot of the shit that you been doing, we been seeing. You know what I mean?
But
it's kind of like, remember when Martin Lawrence put out Run Tell That?
Yeah.
it was good because we already seen enough shit in the news to be like, all right, motherfuckers, you gonna be honest about it? Like, if Eddie Murphy put out a comedy right now, of course it'll go platinum. It'll go platinum off of, like, initial sales. But he's gotta talk about certain shit. Like, yeah. Nigga, you got caught in a car with a dude that had a dress on. You gotta make a joke about it. Like, we waiting on this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he can't do that shit anymore.
He can do it now. He can do it whenever the fuck he want. The thing is, anticipation
for if he dropped the stand-up, like, now, and talk about, like, all the shit that he was going through, yeah. Of course he's going to go crazy. Because, again, like, he's talking
about it. He has that anticipation. Yeah, nobody true. Has to say we want doing, it. Like, just like, but we just want
like
this shit.
Our special, like, they about to, like, of course he gonna make fun of
and you gotta think
he got in trouble.
Eddie Murphy was on Saturday Night Live in the fucking early 80s. You know what I mean? Like, that's just...
And it's just watching that growth. Yeah, the anticipation for Schoolboy Q is definitely, like... It's high. It's up there.
Yeah, I'm
ready for this fucking album. And then guess what? It's another two-year wait.
That's how you get them.
You know, it's how you get them. It's exactly how you do it.
I mean, look at Lil Uzi Vert. Motherfucker's been waiting on Eternal Attack since 2016 or some shit.
Supposedly he's able to drop music out, by the way.
Mm. Oh.
I just see that on Twitter.
I wonder if Rich the Kid really do own that nigga's contract. Because it looked like it at this point. Like, he was trying to beat that motherfucker up. Like, he was solid. And Rich the Kid can drop music whenever the fuck he want, if you ever noticed that.
Nobody finessed the game like Frank Ocean, though.
I mean,
Frank fucking killed it.
Frank's the GOAT.
Elaborate? Like, you talking about as far as owning their own music.
So, Frank Ocean was originally... So who the fuck was he originally signed to?
I don't know.
Because I'd have to, like...
I thought he was one of our future niggas.
I'm sorry, hold on. We got some extra guests in the background. Mang is in the motherfucking building. I referenced you earlier, by the way. Shout out to Mang. Sony. He was originally owned by Sony. So, like, again, you gotta watch, like, the Rocket video and read into it to get the correct, you know, version. But he was originally owned his music from Sony. And everything was cool for a second, but then, like, he was done and he wanted to maintain the rights for his music, but Sony was like, they weren't, like, about that or whatever. They were like, nah, but you're part of our shit. And he was working on that album, Blonde. So what he ended up doing in order to finesse himself out of that contract was he was on his last album, the last part of his contract. He had to give him one more album, and he didn't want to give them Blonde. So he created, you heard of the Endless track, that thing he made? So he made this Endless track, which is literally it was literally like a live stream track, and it was just like a song that just played for fucking like 24 hours, and there was a video to it. It was just a video of like Frank in a workshop building some steps at a random shit.
And that fulfilled his contract?
And that fulfilled his contract. And then he proceeded the next day to show that he was like, it was through Apple that he dropped Blonde. And then scored a shit ton of cash and got all his music and everything, yeah.
That's like some future shit.
Yeah, no, he was like ahead of the game.
Quicker. What happened?
What?
The music. No, it was funny because I can remember a time where like DMX was like promised an extra million to put out another album. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that Flesh in My Flesh, Blood in My Blood, and As Dark as Hell is Hot that year. You know what I mean? And that was like a big deal. Now these niggas, like, I guess Tupac set the standard when he recorded 7 Day Theory in a week and put that shit out. Now everybody can do that shit, week long albums and shit. Like, shit don't mean nothing.
Yeah.
But that's what kind of make it dope, is like you can kind of tell they time limit on it. They doing it.
I wonder, like, how long the Schoolboy Q album is even going to be.
Bruh.
But then I also wonder, like, I'm trying to think, sorry, 2019, but other people still got shit to put out. I can't even think of anybody, like, who I'm expecting at this point. Like, everything is going to be kind of random. Wait, Kendrick's supposed to possibly drop an album, right?
I heard Domingos is dropping a collaborative effort.
With who?
The Ming together.
Oh.
Like, they just dropped solo.
Oh, because you said it, like...
I mean, like,
they heard they was it, they heard they got songs with Drake. I thought they were supposed to do a joint album with him. But that might be just fake news.
I don't know.
Fake news everywhere.
Facts
be. Niggas don't promote their albums like they used to. It'd just be like a tweet.
2 week notice.
Yeah. It'll only be a 2 week notice. It'll be like, hey, bro, the album's coming out tomorrow.
All right, it'll have the date. It'll be four question marks, 19. That's when you know you gotta start.
Like, yeah, you gotta be sitting there like, come on, man.
Get this shit over with.
Like, nigga, fuck you. I ain't about to sit up here get on a motherfucking album watch. Cause your ass, thank you, my ass, cause you got 1,700 songs recorded. and you might put 21 of them together and put out a damn tape.
Boy, making 1,000 songs and only put out like 5.
Like, I don't give a fuck.
That's what, I mean, I get it though. I mean, it's definitely all about creating.
Yeah, you know, there's 1,000 songs with no way you never hear this hell of projects.
I give Wayne credit because the nigga had a feature from Barack Obama. Like, everybody get features from a lot of nigga have Barack Obama.
True. Album. Yeah, that's a pretty good. That's a pretty good album.
Like, that's hard. It's hard to have. Like, you know what I mean? Take a pre-recorded. This nigga's bringing your name up. You and LeBron. Like, that's good company.
That's great company.
You know what I mean? Obama talking about you and LeBron.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? I'm sitting there like, okay.
Like, damn, I should have gone to that thing.
I should have been there. Like,
if I knew he was going to say my fucking name.
Yeah, bro, I should have been there. Damn.
That's for sure.
All right, well, as we completely digressed into a whole different world, it's been pretty dope. You know, thanks for everybody for showing up, coming on.
You already know. You already know how I go.
Tell the world what you think about rap in its, you know, entirety. All right, y'all. Good night.
You did.